one of the challenges that any Rebbe experiences whenever they're speaking to a whole big group together, whether it's their shir or the whole yeshiva, is that people are always holding in so many different places and so many different type of personalities. It's hard to say something that's exactly geared for everybody. So the general understanding is, whenever any Rebbe gives any kind of shmooze or talk, is that they're saying something, hoping that it's at least for the majority of the people that's there, the wavelength that they're speaking within. But the hope is to afterwards is to spur individual conversations with the people that were in this year to discuss how that could apply to them, which parts, you know, how they could understand that, how that could relate to them, if there's something that rubbed them the wrong way, to then go with the Rebbe and discuss it. It's more like a starting point to discuss a certain topic. That's maybe something that I should have said in the beginning of the last smooth, but I don't think it's necessary for the beginning of this smooth. This is something that for all of us. We spoke in the beginning of this man of how when Bnei Yisrael were leaving Mitzrayim, so Moshe Rabbeinu told them, in 50 days from now, you're going to be receiving the Torah at Har Sinai. And they were so excited, they started to count the days towards Har Sinai, and that's when they started to work on themselves, and that's the part of the idea of Sfiras HaOmer. You could sometimes look at how much preparation was needed for something to see how big that thing is. We don't find by any other holiday that we're starting to count and acknowledge 49 days before that holiday is coming. It's something that there's a lot of preparation time put aside for it. Then we find again when they get to Har Sinai, the pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu once again announced to them 3 or 4 days before, you're going to be receiving the Torah in 3 or 4 days. You need to start preparing now. They had to separate from their wives and be matara themselves and mentally get themselves ready for the ma'amad that was going to happen, the ma'amad at Har Sinai. If you look in the psukim in Yisro, so in the beginning of Perek Yud Tes, Bachodesh Hashlishi Latzeis Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim B'yom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai. So it's pointed out that from that first pasuk until the Hesaras Adibro start, there's 26 psukim. 26 psukim from when they get to Midbar Sinai until HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts to speak on Matan Torah. 26 psukim, all dealing with preparation and leading up. And then the Hesaras Adibro themselves from pasuk Beis of the next parak until Yud Dalet, that's 13 psukim. Half the number of psukim as the number of psukim that we're dealing with the preparations for it. In general, with every mitzvah, how far the mitzvah is going to go and on what level you're going to be on when you do it and where your intent is going to be at and how much you're touched by it and how effective your mitzvah is, it's your effect. Most of it goes into the preparation that you do beforehand than right at the moment that it hits you. We want to, as little as possible, fall into mitzvahs and fall into holidays, and as much as possible, mentally prepare ourselves and actively prepare ourselves to be able to live the moment in the right kind of a way. Rav Leibele Eger says that why is it that Matan Torah is given over specifically in Parshas Yisro? And that's the point, that's to teach us, to show us that even though Yisro didn't have those 49 days of preparation, and even though Yisro must have been coming from a lower level than the rest of Bnei Yisrael, because he didn't witness the 10 Makos, he didn't witness Kriyas Yamsuf, he had been an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, and he just kind of fell in to Matan Torah, but still he also was able to, on some level, be ready to receive the Torah and be there on Ma'amar HaSinai. And that's to show that even if no preparation was done at all, no mental preparation or active preparation, it doesn't mean that somebody is a lost cause or a lost case, and you still then could quickly, right before, prepare yourself to be able to receive the Torah. There's a famous, interesting halacha about Erev Shavuos that then applies to all the other Erev Yantivs. The Ramah says in Siman Tuf Samaches, he says, V'nogu shalola hakiz dam b'shum Erev Yantov. There's a minug not to be making dam, not to bloodlet an Erev Yantiv, and the way that it applies to us is not to give blood. It's better not to schedule a surgery or to schedule a cesarean if that ever should come up. It's better not to schedule that on Erev Yantiv. What's the reason? The Mishnah Berurah brings down from a Gemara in Shabbos that on Erev Matan Torah there was some type of a shade, some type of a spiritual negative force that any Jew in Klal Yisrael that wasn't going to receive the Torah, they would have been hurt or affected by this demon that somehow affects the blood. I don't know what I'm talking about, but because of that, But because of that, there's a halacha not to bloodlet because you're endangering yourself. You're bringing upon yourself judgment whether should we let his blood clot right now and not, you know, not keep on flowing, or will it just keep on flowing, God forbid, to death. So a person shouldn't put themselves into that situation. So they ask, Shlomo Zalman Orba asks, that applied to Erev Matan Torah. Why does that apply even still till now, till today? Why is that halacha in the Shulchan Aruch that you shouldn't bloodlet even today? Matan Torah happened already. And he brings this as one example of many, that with all the holidays, the idea is not that, I'm sure Ephraim must have spoken to you about this at some point, and the other Rebbeim, that when the holidays happen, we're not celebrating something that happened in history, but we're re-going through what they went through, and the spiritual powers and forces and potentials and that go on in the world, it's like a cycle, and we're hitting it again. And this, and just like then there was Matan Torah, every year in Vav Sivan, there's once again Matan Torah. And on Erev Matan Torah, everybody is once again in danger if they were to bloodlet. And that's why it's halacha even for today. So we see that that cycle is not just about the Matan Torah aspect itself, but it's even on the preparation before Matan Torah. So let's say during the Shloshes Yimei HaGbala, the 3 days where they were getting ready for Matan Torah, and they were separating from their wives, they were purifying themselves. So the Sfarim say that it's a time that's appropriate to really work on purity and separation. If they had to separate even from their wives, Kal vachomer, we should separate from anything inappropriate or impure that we could, you know, be exposed to in order to prepare for the Matan Torah that we ourselves are going to be going through. There's a minhag and a big inyan to go to the mikvah before Shavuos, to go into the holiday, you know, with purity. You know that one of the biggest things that happened right before Matan Torah was Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. The Kaisel encamped Neged Ahar. Vayichan, written in the singular, that even though there were millions of people, but it was written in the singular because they were Ki'ishachad B'lev Echad. They were like one people with one heart. Derech Eretz Kadma L'Torah. Good Midos come before the Torah. You can't possibly understand the Torah and understand what it's trying to teach you and properly do the mitzvos if you're somebody that doesn't have good and corrected midos. So there's an admor that with the Shabbos before Shavuos, he would always call Shabbos Derech Eretz. Shabbos Derech, because this is the Derech Eretz that's Kadma LaTorah. So we might have missed that, or hopefully we did a Derech Eretz this past Shabbos, but still we have Yichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar going into Yontif tomorrow night. One big focus that we have to have on Erev Shavuos and on Matan Torah is a big focus on Ben Adam L'Chaver, on Yichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, on speaking nicely to people, being respectful to people, not talking bad about people. I don't know if the best thing to do, I don't know if the best thing to do on Erev Shavuos is paintball. So you're shooting people. I don't know. It's like V'yichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. I don't know. But a lot of times the Rebbeim get a phone call from students that are getting married. That, you know, what the day of my wedding, I'm getting married, you know, tomorrow night. What do I do the day of my wedding? How do you do Yom HaChuppah? Yom HaChuppah is the day you're going to get married, and you want to plan that day out before you, because it's like such a holy day. When are you going to ever have the day that you're getting married? You know, I'm sure Michael, let's say the day he got engaged, he thought through his schedule of the day and planned ahead of time because it was meaningful to him. So the day of your chuppah, sometimes you call your Rebbeim in Eretz Yisrael or in America and say, what do I do on my Yom HaChuppah? So all the laws of chuppah and nisuin are all learned out from the chuppah at Har Sinai. It's all learned out from the chasana between Klai Yisrael and the Torah, Klai Yisrael and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So if on Yom HaChuppah, the day of our wedding itself, we're going to think through and plan through and something meaningful, and every single year we're going through Matan Torah all over again, Shavuos doesn't just start tomorrow night when you show up to Maariv or to Mincha. We're preparing for Shavuos already for the last 49 days, and then tomorrow is our Yom HaChuppah. Tonight and tomorrow is our Yom HaChuppah. We're getting married tomorrow night. We don't just fall into Matan Torah. So when a person schedules their day, besides making sure to schedule in the mikveh at some point, you also want to schedule, how do I want to go into my Shavuos? Now, that could mean taking a nap so they could stay up the whole night and learn with focus. That could even mean playing ball, because I'm not going to be able to sit for so many hours straight if I don't, you know, let loose and do something fun during the day. But at least it should be something that when you sit down and you plan out, how should my day look that I go into Matan Torah with the right mindset? definitely there should be some Torah learning beforehand too, and to a certain amount. In the Siddur, when we talk about Shavuos, it doesn't call it Zman Kabbalah Satorah, it's called Zman Matan Torah Seinu, Zman Matan Torah. Kabbalah Satorah, the Rabbanim say, that's every single day we accept upon ourselves the Torah. Every day in Av Rabbah, we accept upon ourselves the Torah. And when we make Birchas the Torah, we're accepting upon ourselves the Torah. Every day we have to accept upon ourselves the Torah. What's special about Shavuos? It's Zman Matan Torah Seinu, where the Torah is being given to us, meaning Min HaShemayim Hashem is sending more of an ability to connect to the Torah, more of an ability to receive brachos and blessing and siyat nishmaya and heavenly help to be able to receive the Torah for the upcoming year of Torah learning and Torah accomplishments. The Arizal, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, the Arizal writes this idea that we do of staying up the whole night to learn. And when he says it, he says something unbelievable. The Arizal promises, he says, duh, you should know. Shekal, I mean the Mishnah Berurah, Shekal Misha Balayla Lo Yashin Klal V'Iker, anybody that doesn't sleep at all, the night of Shavuos, V'Haya Osek B'Torah, and he toils in Torah, Muvtach Lo, he could be promised, he's guaranteed a sure thing, Sheyashlim Shnaso, he's going to complete his year. He won't, he'll make it through the year, he'll live through that year. V'lo ye'aralo shum nezek, no damage will befall him. But he has to toil and Torah the whole night through without sleeping. The Ben Yishchai points out that from the context of where the Arizal was speaking from in the Zohar, that means no hesach hadas at all. In other words, no mundane speech, no time outs in the middle. He's talking about like a shraga workout, like an entire shraga workout night. He's talking about. He's not talking about like most of the night or once in a while. So this is intense. I didn't make this up. I'm telling it to you because if you want this skula that the Arizal is saying that the Mishnah Berurah quotes down, this is how it's done. It's straight focused learning from beginning to end. That doesn't mean not to partake of the nash and stuff like that. Maybe for somebody it does, but it means that. It means not to hang. The Shlav says this, and the Yisod Vashar Shavoda says this. Not to like whenever a bunch of people bump into each other. Often conversations start to spark, and people start to hang out and chill. And before you know it, some time went by—5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. So a person takes, you know, makes a plate of food and go back to the base. Keep on eating your food, you know, maybe while you're learning, or talk with your chavrusa, and you know, while you go and you take your food. Could be a good idea. Or if you're not that person that you're not going to do a shraga workout, Shavuos night, at least you want to limit your break as much as you could, or to make the talk more of a focused one. Not to lose yourself on the night of Matan Torah. So whatever that would mean for you, but to realize that it's an important night, you're standing under the chuppah, and to behave in that kind of a way on the level that you're on. They also speak about the meal on Shavuos. And I see, you see two different things spoken about the meal, Shavuos night, Shavuos day also. One is that Shavuos has an idea of Chatzi Lachem, Chatzi Lashem, that there is an idea in Shavuos that you are supposed to partake in food and have enjoyable food and good food and zmiros and stuff like that in a holy spirit. At the same time, not to waste one's time and drag things out. And a goal is to have a proper meal, but also to get to the Beis Midrash to learn right soon afterwards. Not to delay and drag it out and spend some time somewhere else first, but to go straight to the Beis Midrash and to get to work. A lot of times it happens on Shavuot. Sometimes it happens. Somebody could come to the Beis Midrash and be like, so what should I do? I want to learn tonight. What should I do? So we don't want to find ourselves in that situation. Let's plan ahead already now what our Shavuot night is going to be. What's going to be my schedule? Look at the schedule of Shigurim, see which ones I want to go to, and which ones I want to stay in the Beis Midrash. The Beis Midrash is open the whole night. It's packed the whole night. Some people learn better alone. Some people learn better with chavrusa. Some people want one chavrusa for the whole night. Some people want to make a list of chavrusas. Don't figure it out right when you get there and as you go along. Plan it out already tonight, tomorrow morning. Ask the guys you want to learn with. Schedule the shim you want to go to. And then it's good to have filler svarim. What are filler svarim? Something that you do until the chavrusa starts, until the Rebbe starts the shiur. So you're not wasting any time on the night of Matan. What would be an appropriate filler sefer? Two things. One is it's a big idea to say Sefer Tehillim over Shavuos. Why is there a big idea? David HaMelech was nifted on Shavuos, so he was probably also born on Shavuos, and he wrote Sefer Tehillim. And the Sfarim write that saying Tehillim on Shavuos is extra powerful. It's always powerful. On Shavuos, it's even all that more powerful. We have tons of copies of Sefer Tehillim in the front of the Beis Midrash. If you keep one next to you, and when you find free time and you see you're wasting it, open it up and say another few prakim of Tehillim. There's something very special that Sfardim do, I'm sure, I imagine Hasidim do, I don't think Lubavitch do, and some Litvish also do. The Chasam Sofer said to do this, the Chazon Ish told some people to do this, the Shla says to do this. That's what Rabbi David made a small reference to, Tikkun Le'al Shavuos. Tikkun Le'al Shavuos, I brought a whole pile of it to my makom for anybody that wants to see what it is and take one of the copies and do Tikkun Le'al Shavuos. Tikkun Le'al Shavuos is a specific thing that was put together by Rishon BaYochai and the Arizal later on, which is a portion of all throughout all of Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, and then other portions of Midrashim, Kabbalah, and it's a powerful thing to do for those that do it. A person should do what they're most excited to do, what they feel the most connected to learning. The idea is to learn with happiness, with joy, with focus, with seriousness, but with enjoyment, and to fill the time as much as possible completely. It's a big idea to go to the mikveh before Alos HaShachar or at Alos HaShachar, to Machlokes, but to go to the mikveh at some point at the end of the night, and that finishes the entire Tikkun Le'al Shavuos. The Arizal says that any night during the year that you stay up the entire night learning, it erases one Chiyuv Kares that you have. If any time you machal Shabbos on purpose without a warning and witnesses, you're not chayav skila and instead you're chayav kares, so you could erase one of those. Any night of the year, except the whole night learning. Anything you'd be chayav kares for. The Megala Amuko says on Shavuos night, when you stay up the whole night learning straight, constantly focused, so it erases many, many, many chiyuv kares. And that is dependent on also if you go to the mikveh at the end. Those that are going to go to the walk to the Kotel, I also recommend preparing how you're going to walk to the Kotel. To spend a focused night of learning and then kill the last hour and a half just schmoozing and talking about anything or Lashon Hara, whatever it is, it definitely takes away from what Matan Torah is. So you might want to make a chavrusa for walking. A lot of you know the first 3.5 daf of Kiddushin by heart, at least between two people together, to be able to go over the Shachar Atayah while you're walking. Some of you might want to work with the Sefer Tehillim, or just tell each other Divrei Torah, or at least acknowledge that it's Shavuos, even as we're walking to the Kotel. Or you may choose that for that reason, I don't want to go to the Kotel now, I'm going to go after Shavuos to go to the Kotel. There's four most powerful Shmona Esrays of the whole year. In the Sifrei Kabbalah, so I saw in the Sfarim bring that. There's four most powerful Shmona Esrays. When I list you the four, it's pretty unfortunate these are the four. One is Marv Pesach night. Everybody's rushing to get to the Seder, so it's unfortunate. It's a hard time to have a lot of Kavana. Another one, though, is Musaf Shavuos morning. And that's very tough. But one of the most powerful Shmona Esrays in the entire year is Musaf Shavuos morning. It's not one that you want to be half asleep during. So after a whole night of being up, you want to push yourself, work, focus, and daven with as much kavanah as you could for that musaf, because it's more effective than even the other Shmona Esrays the rest of the year. Kriyas HaTorah and hearing Aseres HaDibros is a very powerful thing. The Sfarim talk about how it's me'ein, it's a type of matan Torah. You're supposed to picture as if the bima is Har Sinai and the Baal Koreh is Moshe Rabbeinu, and you're standing at Har Sinai. So much so that Rabbi Yashiv says that there's a powerful skula to daven for cholim during Kriyas HaTorah of Aseres HaDibros, because since we know that on matan Torah, anybody that was sick was cured at that time. It's a time that, and that Matan Torah is re-happening during Kriyas HaTorah V'Aseres HaDibros on Shavuos. It's a time to daven for people that are sick. So you don't want to miss that. You don't want to forget to do that, and you don't want to forget to have that kavana. We'll just finish off with this one point that the Gra says that, you know, Kala Gada Mechaber Yitzo Gada Himenu. The higher level a person's on, the stronger Yetzer Hara that they have. And I think once we spoke about why that is, or but the Gra says that's not only true about whoever's on a higher level has a strong Yetzirah, but even times during the year and times during the week, the higher level and the more opportunity for Kedusha and growth there is at that time, there's also more Yetzirah to pull people down. So for example, during the 49 days of preparation for Matan Torah, there's a strong Yetzirah to fall during those 49 days that, you know, maybe I might have felt like a little bit of a, it was a little bit hard the last 49 days. Or Motzei Shabbos and Thursday night, like going into Shabbos and coming out of Shabbos, are times that around the world people are either falling or growing, because it's very powerful times for growth. The Yetzer Hara works extra strong at those times. So too Shavuos night. So too Shavuos night. And there's a strong Yetzer Hara to battle or to waste time or to let it fall through our fingers. Plan ahead what you want to learn, what you're excited to learn, what you'd be happy to learn. Schedule your day tomorrow, your Shavuos, and let's go into the day with excitement, with happiness, and with the proper serious focus.